Three more women went public on Wednesday afternoon in Los Angeles, accusing Bill Cosby of sexually assaulting them in the 70s and 80s. At the same time, their lawyer, Gloria Allred, is asking Cosby to face his accusers, asking him if he wants to be remembered as a saint or a sexual predator. How will he be remembered? And is his career over? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk about Bill Cosby's career and his influence on our culture and how we weigh the value of his work in light of these sexual assault allegations. And we'll welcome your thoughts and your questions for our guest, a popular culture expert, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest, Robert Thompson, a professor of television and popular culture and the director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, I guess, first of all, what's your personal reaction to this icon, Bill Cosby, who was America's dad for the longest time, now facing sexual assault allegations from, more than a dozen women?
Well, I guess my first reaction was, almost 10 years ago when we first started hearing about this, and that was very much one of those say it ain't so moments. You have an image of someone, you know their history and their legacy, and when you hear something like that that turns out to be so contrary to that, it's obviously very disturbing, as it would be if we heard something surprising about someone that we actually do know. I guess this time around, it wasn't a surprise insofar as we've already heard some of these accusations. The surprising thing is how this comic makes a statement, calls him a rapist based on information that had been out before, and then the floodgates of women that have come forward. I mean, there have been so many of them, and that, I think, has really made this even more disturbing than it was the first time we heard these accusations.
Yeah, of the stand-up comedian who made the comment calling Cosby a rapist, was he in essence, talking back to Cosby because Cosby has had some negative comments about the African-American community needing to pull up its pants, for example?
Right, exactly. I mean, it was in the context of a little riff he was doing with regards to Cosby, dictating how he thinks people should live, which is to talk proper English and quit wearing their pants so low and all the rest of it, which, of course, has been something Cosby has, even back in the day when his show was still on, there was kind of the Cosby approach and there was the In Living Color approach, and they really represented two sides of interpretations of how the community should represent itself and all of that. I think Cannibal Burress was doing a joke about that and brought up these accusations that had taken place a long time ago, and that seems to have started this avalanche of bringing those accusations back up again, and then all the new ones that have come out.
Yeah, and then of course he starts getting asked, including by NPR Scott Simon, to comment, and he won't comment.
Yeah, and this I think is what is really kind of unique about this is we've had lots of times when people have been accused of terrible things, and generally they come out and they deny them. And oftentimes those denials turn out to be lies, but there is this period of denial. Which what's so interesting in the case of Cosby is his relative silence on this. I mean, in the case of the Scott Simon interview, literal silence. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're listening to the interview and there's no sound coming out of the speaker. And even the comments coming from Cosby's lawyers are extraordinarily vague. I don't read them in any ways as denials themselves. And since a lot of these accusations are probably never going to go to court, it seems like the conclusions people are drawing now with regards to the accusations versus Cosby's non-denials are going to be the conclusions that I think are going to stick for a lot of people, because I don't think this is probably, most of these are never going to be litigated.
Yeah. Well, this is just in the news this morning from, I guess, celebrity lawyer Gloria Allred is asking Cosby to face his accusers in, I guess, what would, without going into great detail, it would be, you know, like a panel of retired judges could determine, you know, whether any of the claims have merits of the women, and maybe somehow Cosby would have to compensate all the women, even if the statute of limitations has gone by in most cases.
I don't quite get that. I mean, it's almost as though she's creating a shadow legal system parallel to the real one. I'm not sure how that could ever happen, that particular suggestion. Gloria Allred often says things that I don't.
But I guess her question at least resonates to some extent. Will we remember him as a saint or a sexual predator? Is it too soon to answer that?
Well, unless something extraordinary happens that suddenly can wipe the slate clean and clear all of these accusations, I mean, unless some extraordinary story which said all of these people were part of a massive conspiracy and none of it ever happened and whatever, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I think at the very best, the Cosby legacy is going to be dominated by the asterisk that this will represent. And, of course, that will begin to change as generations go on. There are a lot of great artists who have done really bad things that we continue to appreciate and study their art. But if you're admiring a Renaissance painting by somebody who murdered someone centuries ago, that goes down easier than when it's someone that's been part of the culture that you grew up in. So I would say that his career has been highly compromised for at least two generations to come. And of course, Cosby doesn't have two generations left.
Yeah. I mean, we had Cosby was to come to the Widener Center in Green Bay, but his April appearance was canceled this week, and there are all sorts of other things. But I mean, his career is over.
Well, I'm not saying he could still, if people will still book him, he can still fill up places. There's still people who would come to see him. If he did it now, he's liable to also meet protesters and all of the rest of it. But this big new launch, I mean, he was going to do the NBC show, which, by the way, there wasn't even a script written for. There's no reason to believe that would have become a hit any more than the one he did after the Cosby show did, which it didn't do all that well. So, but he did look like he was about to. He had all of these dates he was going to play. He had the NBC thing, the special on Netflix, and those seemed to be falling like ninepins as we go along. And I think it's important. This is such a touchy issue in so many ways, because on one level, I always liked the idea that you really don't want to simply take a bunch of flying around accusations and, torpedo someone's career as a result of it. You like the idea of innocent till proven guilty and let it be litigated with due process of law. But this is a lot more touchy, because if you, in fact, say, we're not going to listen to any of these things until it goes to court, and if it doesn't go to court, we're going to ignore it, then you essentially are putting yourself on the very side of the things that many of these people are complaining about, is that nobody would listen to them, nobody would do anything about it, people wouldn't cover the story. So either way here, there's a sense that, you know, you certainly don't want to discourage people from coming out and talking about these things. You don't want to give people a sense that nobody will listen to them. But at the same time, there is a sense that a lot of these decisions are being made without due process. But all that being said, not to go on forever, but the fact is that people keep saying, oh, Cosby is being tried by the court of public opinion. Well, that's not really the case. The court of public opinion, I think, has made, for the most part, the assumption that Cosby is at least guilty of some of these accusations. But they're not trying him. I mean, NBC can pull the show. That's their right. They pull lots of shows. It's not like Cosby is being sent to prison by the court of public opinion. And I think we need to make that decision. People can make all these assumptions about Cosby, and given what Cosby himself has done or not said recently, can choose to cancel a date or cancel a show. And that's different from, you know, declaring him guilty and sending him off to jail. So we've got to be a little careful about some of the hyperbole that surrounds this.
We are talking with Robert Thompson, a professor of television and popular culture and the director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. We'll take a short break, and then we will talk with Professor Thompson about the impact of Bill Cosby's work. And I don't know whether we can still watch reruns of The Cosby Show if they were on. And not feel guilty about it? Is his work still good even though he's been accused of sexual assault? We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. Also, a little bit later in the program, we will be welcoming in Milwaukee writer Eugene Cain, who knows Bill Cosby personally and has worked with him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about Bill Cosby during this hour and Bill Cosby's legacy, and welcoming your thoughts and questions now that Bill Cosby, his career in free fall right now, reruns of The Cosby Show have been pulled off the air. NBC has pulled the plug on a special that it was planning with Cosby. Venues are canceling Cosby's stand-up comedy shows like the Widener Center in Green Bay. We're talking about the fall of Bill Cosby and trying to weigh his legacy, weigh the value of his work in light of all these allegations. And we're welcoming your thoughts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our first guest is Robert Thompson, a professor of television and popular culture and the director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. Can you give us, Professor Thompson, a quick rundown of Bill Cosby's pioneering career?
Yeah, I mean, there is no question, as horrible as these accusations are, and they are seeming to get more and more horrible, there's no question that this guy was a pillar of American popular culture in general, and also one of the most important figures in the integration of American television. I mean, I don't like these the Jackie Robinson of this, the Jackie Robinson of that, that people always do, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. If you wanted to point to the Jackie Robinson of television, it would be Bill Cosby. Nat King Cole had a show before him, but it couldn't get a sponsor. It never really got going. We had shows like Amos and Andy and Beulah, but they were tainted by offensive stereotypes. When Cosby debuts as the co-star of I Spy, that was a big deal on American television. It was a drama. He was a dignified Princeton graduate in the character that he played. That was very unusual. feel that was very important, and it remains an important moment. And then he followed that up with his first comedy, The Cosby Show, which he played, or The Bill Cosby Show, I'm sorry, which he played a high school basketball coach, which also did all kinds of really interesting things. And if that wasn't enough, Fat Albert and the Cosby right. Kids, and then, of course, The Cosby Show, which 5 years in a row, number one in the Nielsen ratings, and was one of the most kind and gentle and exquisitely produced television programs of all time, and one of the most popular. So you've got that legacy, and it's an extraordinary legacy. It was an important legacy. It opened doors for lots of people who wouldn't have otherwise had those doors open, and that remains a historical fact. Then the question becomes, now when all this other information comes in, what do we do with all that? And I think that ultimately becomes personal. I have to say, ever since I watched that Michael Richards racist tirade that played on YouTube when he went crazy at a comedy club,
right.
In many ways, whenever Kramer comes onto a Seinfeld episode, I cringe. It still to this day gives me the creeps. I think a lot of people, when after having heard all of these drugging and raping and all this kind of thing, are going to have a hard time watching anything with Cosby on it, because this will inflect it. I think in some way we have to keep the historical record of his achievements there. We don't want to erase I Spy. I Spy was really important, as was The Cosby Show. But I think for many people, for a long time, it's going to be hard to get over some of these things.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of... we've seen a lot of writing about this. There were some African-American bloggers and opinion writers who are writing about the meaning of Cosby's shows and the meaning that Bill Cosby has had in their lives. And one was, you know, somebody who felt that Bill Cosby was very important to her growing up, and that she still thinks that that show is too important to allow it to be buried. What's your opinion of that?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I guess I ultimately come down on the side of sometimes people who do really bad things also achieve really great works, whether they are inventions, whether they're works of art, mm-hmm. whether they're TV programs. And in many ways, the bad things spoil these great things for many of us, for obvious reasons. But I agree with the argument that what the Cosby Show did, what I Spy did, what Fat Albert did, was very, very important to a lot of people, and I don't think we want that to go away. But in this first generation, let's say for the next 20 years at the very minimum, one of the problems is the cognitive dissonance in that, okay, we got the Roman Polanski thing. And by the way, Roman Polanski was actually arrested and indicted. But Roman Polanski made these kind of, you know, serious movies, and you could sort of separate the two. The hard thing about watching Cosby and his clean comedy, or especially watching The Cosby Show, is that what this show was about, which was about decency and humanity and respect. I mean, I think if I had to define The Cosby Show in one word, it would be respect mm-hmm. for each other and our families and those around us. And these stories are so antithetical to what The Cosby Show was all about. And I think that's what makes it really hard, because this isn't a Roman Polanski movie and you've got to think about Roman Polanski's charges. This is the Huxtables, and the Huxtables stood for everything that these stories are the opposite of.
Let's go to Hannah in Madison. Hi, Hannah.
Hi. So I guess my comment about this is just looking on Netflix over Thanksgiving weekend, thinking about how they had pulled Bill Cosby's special, I noticed they also added 15 Woody Allen movies and several Roman Polanski movies as well. Venus in Fur suddenly showed up. And so I guess I'm just kind of pessimistic long-term about how people are going to remember Bill Cosby and and continue to give him money and to use the products he keeps making. I think he probably will ultimately make that special, because when things aren't constantly talked about, like Woody Allen was, you know, a year ago, I think people like to forget. Rape gets brushed under the rug in this country. That's why it happens to so many women and why so many women don't talk about it.
Interesting. Well, so Netflix pulls Cosby but puts Woody Allen and Polanski on. What about that, Robert Thompson?
Yeah, well, it's hard to these and Cosby, Woody Allen, and Polanski are being compared a lot. First of all, I would say that part of that has to do with this stuff does change over time, which is exactly the point that the caller just made. That it does tend to get forgotten, and when it's not on the top of the news, so that this stuff does tend to change over the time. And by the way, that'll happen with Cosby as well. I just think it's going to take a while. I'm a little hesitant to make the Polanski and Woody Allen and Cosby comparisons, because in so many ways, all three of them are so different. In the case of Polanski, we did get arrests and indictments, and what he was waiting his final sentencing when he left the country. I think that's still pending, if I'm not mistaken. Woody Allen is complicated in that there's two different things. There's a whole relationship he had with his partner, not his wife, but his partner's adopted daughter, which I think makes many, many people very uncomfortable, but they actually got married and have been married for a long time. And then there's the subsequent accusations that there was trouble finding evidence of other things that Woody Allen had done. And then you've got Cosby, where you've got this big line of accusations, a seeming silence in face of it. So I don't know. I think those are three really different kinds of things that I hesitate to make comparisons to.
Thanks very much, Hannah, for the call. You know, she thought that that Cosby will come back because the society doesn't take rape seriously. What do you have thoughts on that?
Well, I think there is, and if anything comes of this, one of the ways you'd have closure here is if you could try these cases, have due process, and actually have it go through the rationality of the court system. That's probably not going to happen in almost all these cases. Then people always say, well, why didn't you report these earlier? Well, of course, these people are young. It was a very different thing. You've got powerful people involved. I perfectly understand why these weren't reported earlier. But maybe some consciousness raising about how you ultimately can't get away with this is something horrible. I hope there's been some consciousness raising about this. But it is true that I think eventually the edges of these things get worn off. And maybe part of it has to do with the fact that the older a program gets, whether it's a movie or a TV show or whatever, the more it becomes separated from the individuals involved, because the individuals involved ultimately become people we know less of. They're not part of our everyday experience. The thing with Cosby is practically everybody in this country has had a pretty intense relationship with Bill Cosby through one of his programs or another.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk to someone who has worked with Bill Cosby in just a moment, but before we let you go, Robert Thompson, you think that Bill Cosby's legacy, at least, has been tainted for some time to come?
Yes, I definitely think it's been tainted. I don't think it's been erased. I don't think it should be erased. But there is now a big cloud over someone who did some extraordinarily important work, and I think that's very sad.
Yeah, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Robert Thompson, professor of television and popular culture at the and the director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So we are talking about Bill Cosby's career, his legacy, and welcoming your thoughts, your questions. as we talk with two different guests. We just heard from a popular culture expert about the impact that Bill Cosby has had on our popular culture and whether or not he will ever be able to regain that trust or popularity in light of the sexual assault allegations that have been issued against him. And now we welcome in another guest who you are familiar with. We usually talk to Eugene Cain during our Week in Review programs, but we learned during a recent Week in Review that Eugene Cain has had a personal relationship with Bill Cosby, and he wrote a column about it recently. Eugene Cain is a longtime columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His writings appear on Sundays in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy.
So, tell us your reaction now to I don't know. Three more women went public yesterday afternoon in Los Angeles, accusing Bill Cosby of sexually assaulting them in the 70s and 80s. It just keeps coming, Eugene.
Yeah, I mean, the additional three didn't really do much to shape my attitudes on it. It's been a sad situation hearing more and more about it, but I do think it's reached a critical mass, which is something I kind of anticipated simply because of the way Cosby and or his people were handling the situation for the past few weeks. I mean, you can't really stonewall people when there's this much speculation and accusations going around, but for some reason, he seemed to just take the position that he's above it and he doesn't really have to respond to it. And I think that's essentially what has now allowed it to gain such a momentum that I doubt if, you know, even he realizes just how much trouble he's in right now.
Yeah, for the first, he broke his silence to some extent this week by tweeting thank you to his supporters like Whoopi Goldberg. He needs to do more than that, though.
Yeah, of course, because it's just, you know, he released a statement last week, I believe, through a lawyer that basically just told people that he wasn't going to respond to any of this, and it was all innuendo, which was a weird way, you know, to talk about these cases that these women have brought against him. But the tweets, I mean, he thanked Whoopi Goldberg, he thanked Jill Scott, and these one-word tweets that probably weren't even written by him. So, no, that's certainly not going to be enough to satisfy people. People who are in the public relations business that I've talked to, they're kind of torn as to whether or not Bill can even do a sit-down interview with someone that basically address all this and come out of it, you know, looking better than he does now because of his attitude and his stubbornness. I'm not sure how that would work. And he just doesn't trust the press anyway. And the times that he has allowed journalists like me and others into, you know, his realm, it's with conditions. I mean, you can't ever really report freely on Cosby because he directs most of the conversation or the dialogue. So
yeah,
I'm not really sure, you know, whether him actually sitting down, I think that would be the best thing. People want to hear him at length discuss this and talk about the accusations, the veracity of the accusations, whether he can admit any fault within himself, or even give people a context in which to understand this stuff. I mean, it would be fascinating, and I'm sure it would be a blockbuster TV show or sit-down interview, but I'm not really thinking that that's going to happen.
Remind us, Eugene, how you came to meet Bill Cosby and work with Bill Cosby.
Basically, it's around 2004, I believe, when he was making a lot of comments about how basically low-income black people were holding back the race and how black parents didn't care about education. And he was making a lot of very valid criticism of the black community, but he did it in such a heavy-handed way and in some venues that people didn't think were appropriate that he suffered some backlash. So I think after the backlash, I wrote about it, and after I wrote a column about the backlash, I got a call from Bill Cosby at my job, and we started having a conversation about what I had written. And I remember being struck by the fact that the first thing he said when he finally reached me
was that, Mr. Kane, I'd like to have a, I don't want to argue with you, I'd like to have a conversation with you. So he kind of put me on ease with that, because I really did expect him to be sort of mad at me and start screaming or threatening me or whatever, but he was very level-headed, and from that, We did develop a relationship that led to him actually coming to Milwaukee as part of these community shout-outs, they called them, where he would appear in front of predominantly black crowds and just kind of go into more detail about his thoughts on particularly education and personal responsibility. And over the course of those 2 years, I mean, I met with him in person. We talked on the telephone. Just last year, he was in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater, and he invited me to a show at the Riverside. And before the show, me and my date were able to go and meet him and talk with him. So I felt very privileged, still feel very privileged to have been let inside, you know, a very insulated world that he has.
Yeah, would you count yourself among his supporters right now?
Well, it's not really support. I can't really support. The reason I'm writing about it is because most people, I've written about him in the past, and I've always done it in the context of this is what Bill Cosby says, and this is what Bill Cosby is doing for black people. So after having written all these positive things about him, I just didn't feel I could just ignore what's going on now. So my sense, and in the column, I think I divulged how conflicted I am, because I can't really be totally objective on the subject of Bill Cosby. I like the guy. I admire the guy. He's actually, the personal relationship aside, we actually have some commonalities. He's from Philadelphia, where I grew up, and he attended Temple University, which is my alma mater. So there's a lot of stuff there. Supporter, I can't really say I support him until, like I say, unless he can actually talk about these accusations and put it into context and actually give people a sense of whether or not he did something wrong or not.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a short break, and then we'll take some calls for Eugene Kane, talking about Bill Cosby's career and legacy and what he should do, given the sexual assault allegations that have been issued against him by more than a dozen women now. What do you think? And how have these allegations affected your view of Cosby's work? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Eugene Kane, who is a Milwaukee writer, blogger. His writings appear on Sundays in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You also hear him from time to time on our Friday Week in Review program. We are talking with Eugene about Bill Cosby and the sexual assault allegations and the effect that that has had on Bill Cosby's career. His reruns of The Cosby Show have been canceled, NBC pulling the plug on a special it was planning, venues canceling Cosby's stand-up comedy shows. The Widener Center in Green Bay just did. We just heard news this week that Cosby has resigned from the board at Temple University. What do you think about this whole thing? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We had celebrity lawyer Gloria Allred yesterday asking Cosby to face his accusers, asking him if he wants to be remembered as a saint or a sexual predator. How will he be remembered? And should he face his accusers in some way? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. G in Milwaukee is with us. Or is it Guy? I'm sorry.
This is Guy, Joe. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, please. I'm calling with Cosby Show. What I feel like now that Michael Jackson is gone, that the media and some people are looking for a different focus. And I really don't believe that is going to tarnish his reputation anyway, just like many other stories. It will be the story for the moment, and then it will go away, because I don't understand how, after 20 years, people are coming like, okay, this was rape, this was, you know. And not only that, I listened to Eugene, who's asking him to go out. I personally believe that Bill Cosby doesn't really have anything to say to those people, because some of them was raped for the first day, and then it was consensual. So why coming out today? He really doesn't have anything to face them with, because his legacy will always remain. People can cancel his show, which is fine. It is the trend that we have seen in America when something like this happens, when everybody is on top of it. The TV show, all these businesses right. will kind of play that game, but then they will easily come back as if nothing have ever happened. So right. I'm completely behind Bill Cosby. Of course, I don't support any wrongdoing that he did, if that was the case. But
I think there's some doubt here that this wasn't sexual assault, Eugene. But in any case, he thinks that Bill Cosby is going to come back. That this is just the story of the moment. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people, their faith in Bill Cosby has been tested by this, and a lot of them still stand behind him, absolutely. I will question, you know, once you start really looking into the facts, and in terms of facts, I mean actual, you know, women who have agreed to sort of be on the record about this, and the ones who basically did take action, you really have to be a total Bill Cosby loyalist to just ignore all of the accusations. It puts you in a difficult position, and if you're a fan, and I think most of the people supporting him do fit the category of fans. I mean, they like his work, they like the show, so in their eyes, he can do no wrong. I've gotten past the kind of hero worship part of this and just realized now that there are just serious allegations made that he doesn't have to address them, but clearly, by refusing to address them and stonewalling it, it has reached critical mass. And now I think the best way to look at it is that I had one writer described it as, you can either accept that all these women came up with these very similar stories and decided to take on a very powerful Hollywood figure when they knew they had no chance of winning, and in most cases, most of them are not going to get any money. You can either decide that they all conspired to do this, or you have to accept the fact that perhaps, you know, Bill Cosby has been a sexual predator for close to 30 years in Hollywood. So it's a very disturbing thing to have to face up to.
What about our caller saying that Bill Cosby is just the next new Michael Jackson to vilify?
Well, I've heard that, too. But the thing is that in the black community, there is a very strong belief that, you know, black leaders and heroes in the black community are being taken down. And you can, there's actually, you know, proof on one end in some other aspects of life where you can accept that. Bill Cosby has always been so powerful and so above it all. And he was really beloved mainly by white society more so in recent years than a black fan base. But I just, you know, as a journalist, I don't buy into conspiracy theories that much, but I have heard also that they feel, you know, oh, they're taking him down the way they took Michael Jackson down. And these are the same people who refuse to believe that Michael Jackson had an obvious problem dealing with sexual behavior with young children. So
yeah.
You can either be a loyalist and not accept anything negative about your hero, or you can take the blinders off and sort of face the facts.
You know, one writer for the New Republic said that one reason the accusations against Cosby have taken so long to really, you know, make waves is because his work made white Americans feel good about themselves when it comes to issues of race. Do you see any truth in that?
I think Bill Cosby was beloved in white America, which is why one of my problems with him when I first began my relationship with him was the fact that a lot of his speeches and the words that allowed him, you know, to really become so popular with some white people, they were all sort of denigrating black people. So you could also, you know, a lot of people I've heard, you know, have compared Bill Cosby to a black conservative, which I don't really think is true. He never really, you know, took a real political stance on in that sense, or went the route of many black conservatives. But I mean, this stuff just bubbled up for a number of reasons. A comedian in Philadelphia started calling him a rapist on stage. And then there was the announcement of his new projects, which might have brought some of these women, you know, out of the shadows to renew their claims. But no, I don't, you know, it's not a conspiracy by white people or black people. It's something that has come out of its own. And now it's, you know, yeah. I'm not sure where it's going after this.
Our previous guest was kind of giving us talking about the impact of Cosby's career, and we talked about, you know, being the first on a show like I Spy and the Cosby Show. What did his work, like those shows, mean to you personally, Eugene?
Well, for me, it was, and a lot of not just African Americans, a lot of Americans, period. It was the Cosby Show, the landmark sitcom that ran for like 10 years and really much created a new image of a black family that drew some controversy at first because some people didn't think it was realistic to have a black doctor married to a black lawyer and with six educated children. But I mean, I was one of the ones during the height of the Cosby Show, I would point out to people who said it wasn't realistic, that it was very realistic of a certain slice of African-American life. My sister and her family were sort of like the Cosbys, and there are lots of black families like that. So that's why I thought it was very groundbreaking to have that on TV for so long, and it really did change the perception for a lot of people of the way black people lived. So for that alone, he's got a lot of other accomplishments. But The Cosby Show, which was landmark and which was actually thoughtful in ways that went beyond just being a TV sitcom, because he had Ivy League professors, you know, helping him write the scripts and sending the right messages. It was just a very pioneering television program that really set its mark, and he deserves to be lauded for what he did with that show.
Harold in Superior is with us now. Hi, Harold.
Well, good morning. You know, so often these people with extreme talents, a genius, another example would be Bill Clinton. My gosh, they just sabotage themselves, and there's a book written, I wish I could remember the name of it, about how so many geniuses have some mental, you know, very extreme mental issues of one kind or another, that it's almost like you aren't a genius if you don't have the mental issues.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Harold. Because we have so many callers in such limited time, let me get a couple more reactions before we ask Eugene to react. Beth and Merrill. Hi, Beth.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And Eugene, I want you to know I love your column. I read it in the Journal Sentinel all the time, and it gives me a good sense of the African-American culture in Milwaukee. So thank you for that. My point is I'm just kind of shocked that people still believe that there's a certain face to a sexual predator. This is a man, Bill Cosby, who's a multimillionaire actor and who has, yes, done great things for colleges and people in life, but people forget that predators are not in the alley behind the garbage can. Predators are all walks of life, and I'm just, like I said, shocked that people think he couldn't have done it because he's Bill Cosby. People need to get that sense of what a predator is out of their mind, and we've seen that lately with some other actors and famous people, but I just, and people that say that, why would they come forward 20, 30, 40 years later? No one wants to be a sexual assault victim. no one wants to come forward and say, hey, I was sexually assaulted. It's a shaming, it's embarrassing, and it lasts a lifetime. The effects can last a lifetime. I just want people to understand that.
Yeah. Oh, Eugene, you want to react?
Well, I think it's an education for a lot of people. I was educated because I think in the beginning, one of the things I would always mention is that after when you see how people react to Bill Cosby, men and women, I mean, my God, he's arguably one of the 10 most famous people in the country. I mean, when you see the way they react to him, part of the question is, well, why would he have to drug women? Because they're all throwing themselves at him. And then I had to be reminded by a female friend that it's really not about sex. It's about power. It's about exerting power over people. And I can't imagine any more nefarious way to do it than to drug them first so that they, you know, don't have any mind of their own. So, but yeah, everybody's being educated about what sexual assault really is and what it really means through this story.
Amir in Madison is with us now. Hi, Amir.
Good morning. I am a longtime supporter of Dr. Cosby. I followed the Cosby Show as a kid and in A Different World. I am of Middle Eastern descent, but I was adopted by an African American community, family and community. And for those reasons, Dr. Cosby really did a lot for the image of black people in this country, and that's why he meant so much to me. And of someone who's ethnically Middle Eastern, I only wish somebody would come by and do that same thing for us. So long story short, the work that he's done is so meaningful to me, but also I see a lot of pain from these women, and as a fan, it's very hard for me to know which way to go, you know, I'm just kind of stuck. So.
Thank you, Amir. And I'm sorry, one more because so much reaction. Bill Cosby, Michelle emails, needs to come forward, admit and apologize for his wrongful behavior, ask for forgiveness. Then he should put his money where his mouth is and donate to heavily to rape centers across the country and speak about how harmful these behaviors are toward women and toward our society. Is that what he should do, Eugene?
I think he's intelligent enough that if he were to actually put together a case to explain these allegations from his own perspective, and yes, be humble enough to admit whatever failings or shortcomings he might have, I do think he could get behind this. I mean, I don't think it'll happen because I don't think, you know, I think he's kind of painted himself in a corner. But I think that's what people are really waiting for. He's such an exalted figure, and that's not even too much of a word to use in his case. Mm-hmm. He could win people back if he just asked for forgiveness. If he's done something wrong, if he feels he's done something wrong, ask for forgiveness. That would be the starting point. And then, like she's saying, or like the person was just saying, in terms of contributing money, I mean, there's never been a case where you can't sort of, you know, buy yourself some kind of absolution through money. So,
yeah.
Well, again, it's all about what he wants to do.
We'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Eugene Kane, a longtime columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And thanks to Robert Thompson from Syracuse University, who talked to us in our first half hour. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Brianne Chasso for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Tomorrow, we'll have two guests from different perspectives talking about all the issues in the news this week. It's our Week in Review tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.